On this episode of ITAV, we take a look at Huawei and the continuing restrictions both here in the States and abroad, and also looking at AV as a service in the era of COVID-19. All that and more next on ITAV.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation. Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is ITAV, episode 42, recorded Thursday, May 28, 2020. Government AV.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by
Extron, industry-leading technology backed by world-class support.
This is ITAV, the monthly look at the IT and the AV space and how they come together. My name is Tim Ombre. I am your host. With me to discuss the articles we've gathered, first and foremost, Victoria Ferrari from Conference Technologies. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Also with us from BIAMP, Mr. Chris Fitzsimmons. Welcome, sir.
Hi, everybody. Thank you.
And the only way we can get Mr. Matt Scott into the States is virtual, is by Zoom. So Mr. Matt D. Scott from London, Ontario. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me. Excuse the fact I'm on site today.
But I think it's a great shot. It may be a better shot than you in your regular studio. I don't know.
Obviously, we need to spend some money in the studio.
Probably. All right, let's kick this off here. The first thing happening, the first story we're going to get to here is our friends over at AV Technology and looking at the shifting OPEX model into AV as a service. And they interviewed Julian Phillips, who now is with AVISPL. Julian was with Whitlock for a number of years. Obviously, with that merger and acquisition, that he's now jumped over to AVISPL and officially with that. One of the things, though, I want to pull out here is according to the article, and I agree with this, one of the major advantages of adopting AV as a service is its flexibility in providing a lifestyle refresh planning. What that it means to me, again, as a former technology manager, is you had a finite plan or a roadmap where, I don't know, let's pick on projectors for a second. A projector you figured would last you between 7 and 9 years, depending on your organization, depending on the projector, right? One thing that AV as a service allows you to do is not worry about that. It gives you the flexibility to say, okay, this room is going to be kept up to date in perpetuity. I want to start with you, Victoria, and not only from the selling side, but also from the supporting side. When we start moving into AV as a service and understand that we're still in a difficult time and unprecedented time in lockdown, various parts of the country, obviously various parts of the world, but as we go forward and kind of move out of this and we start talking to folks again about AV as a service, is that refresh cycle still going to be on top of mind, or is it going to be something whether it's, you know, keeping their faculty safe or keeping their employees safe? Are there other concerns here?
Well, I think what I've seen anecdotally is that it's not a concern. People have, you know, equipment that's 10 years old and they just keep putting Band-Aids on it. So, you know, coming back out of this, out of the, you know, Corona thing, definitely is not going to be one of the things top of most companies' minds. But I found that, you know, it really depends on the stakeholders and the decision makers of the company. Some of them, they're like, hey, we want to be on the cutting edge. We want to have the latest and greatest. So it is important to them to refresh every, you know, 2 to 3 years, and they're good about it and they have plans in place to do that. But the majority of other companies, I don't think that, in at least the vertical that I work in, I don't feel that they really make it a priority.
Right. Chris, you were kind of nodding your head about the Band-Aid. How do you talk with customers about, you know, the balance here between, yes, you can totally put a Band-Aid on this in 9 or 11 years. However, there is the benefit of having not just the latest greatest, but having refreshed product and not worrying about equipment going down because of age.
I think, and I obviously I'm speaking as a vendor here, we are careful when we talk to customers about how and when they should buy stuff, because we're respectful of our channel, right? We have to be very, very cautious about that. So I'll speak somewhat for myself to the Band-Aid thing. We're talking about the situation right now with COVID and how people are budgeting and how people are spending. I am not, as an individual, looking to sign up for more subscription services right now, right? We're on a reduced income in our household, and we are figuring out how to manage that. And one of the ways of managing that is striping all the monthly things that we can find and going, you know what? I'm not paying for that one. I'm not renewing that one. I'm not getting that one. And I don't need this new washing machine. I can clean it with some vinegar and some, you know, it sounds a bit 1950s, but you know what I mean? Like we're being cautious about what we're spending our money on and signing up for more things that I can't get out of in an emergency is not really on my list of stuff to do. And I suspect, perhaps wrongly, but I suspect that mid-sized businesses, not giant ones, right? We're assuming that banks are all fine, thanks. But, you know, anything below that scale of organization is not looking to increase its monthly outgoings right now. And so whilst buying hardware on a effectively a lease, like a car lease, which is what this is, and I'm sure it's financially structured just like one, so very nice, thank you for the supplier, is not something that companies may be interested in doing. It does obviously has a lot of appeal, right? When I lease a new truck, I get to have the nice new shiny truck, I get to keep it, it gets maintained, I assume there's some kind of contract with it that looks after it, and when I need to get the oil changed, I take it back and it's all fine. But I didn't take a new lease on a truck this year because it's a lot of money a month that I'm signing up for.
Yep.
And so I think while we're in a period of uncertainty, which we absolutely are, I'm not sure how popular of a business model this is going to run in the mid, you know, the middle of that value pyramid, right? The 50% and down. I don't know. I totally understand the motivation of it from a service supplier, from ABISPL's point of view, Whitlock's point of view. And as a vendor, it's great. You know, for Biomp, we love this kind of thing because it provides us with effectively guaranteed refresh of our product. Assuming we're doing good business with Whitlock ABISPL, they're going to come back to us and say, oh, hey, we need some more of these and more of these and more of these. We would always recommend that you have new or the newest available hardware, but Biomp still offers a 5-year warranty on its equipment. So, you know, if you buy a Tessera from us today or you bought a Tessera from us 4 years ago, the warranty is still good and we'll still support it, whatever it is. We get support calls for, you know, Audias and Nexias and all the other good stuff we sold. We get requests for manuals for obscure mixers that we made in the 90s and don't manufacture anymore. And we still have those and we'll still take phone calls from customers. So we're not particularly incented. We're not particularly incenting you to toss away your stuff and buy new stuff. As a company, we've always been very proud of our, you know, engineering heritage and looking after it. Obviously, firmware is a bit different, right? The process of making sure you're running the latest stuff and you've updated your products and updated your systems to be on the latest version is something that we're very keen to push. You know, we're very on top of telling everyone new firmware is available, making it smooth, informing people why they should. Not just, oh, hey, 315's here, great. It's, you know, it has these improvements and maybe these security benefits. You know, we're going to talk about security in a bit. But updating what you have and refreshing the software on it is somewhere we're putting a lot of focus on right now, is making sure people are running the latest firmware. It makes our lives easier to support it, but it makes their lives easier because it's likely better in most cases. We can have a chuckle about that if we want. But, it you know, in general, we try to make our new firmware more secure and more functional than the old firmware.
It also lengthens the life of the product too, right?
Absolutely.
By adding benefits.
We're not at a point at Biomp where we're manufacturing disposable product.
Yeah.
But we don't tut when we see a 10-year-old box in a facility. We're proud when we see a 10-year-old box in a facility because it's still going and it's still working. It was built to last that long. It may not be warrantied that long, but it's built to last that long and more.
Well, Matt, let's talk about that for a second, because one of the things that Chris hits on here is people reducing their monthly subscriptions, both from a personal standpoint as also from a business standpoint. But AV is not, with the exception of displays, and we can have conversations about consumer electronics and those displays. But by and large, commercial equipment is not meant to be disposable. It's meant to last. It's meant to be installed and take a beating. Is that going to be kind of the Achilles heel of AV as a service, the fact that, you know what, maybe it's not a 5-year refresh, maybe it's a 10-year refresh or a 12-year refresh?
I don't think it's going to be the killer or the knife through the heart to AV as a service. What I think is going to propel AV as a service is, and I'll give this caveat first, it's going to come down to how you can finance it and who you're going to work with as a solutions provider. If you have a bank or someone who can help you fund this over a, you know, 10-year life cycle. That's actually that 8 to 10-year life cycle is really good for AV. It gets you, you know, quick enough that you can, you know, cycle it through without being too far behind the curve, but also you see that time frame. Now keep in mind, in the IT world, it is not uncommon to see a 3 to 5 year life cycle for network switches and everything else that honestly should last as long as AV, but they have just built that system to where that is their life cycle, that is their turnover. What I think will benefit AV as a service is if you have clients, especially coming out of this, if you have clients, businesses, whatever, who aren't cash heavy, who don't have this surplus because of COVID, nobody's got cash. As much as they will not be excited about jumping into more monthly services, it does open accessibility to some of those products that they may need. Because if they can look at it and say, okay, I don't need to take a business loan. I don't need to take a CapEx hit on a $50,000 room that I need. I need this room to work, but I can take this as an OpEx and run this out over the next 6, 8, 10 years, whatever that looks like. You're not going to get a business loan for technology that's 10 years. No banker will give that to you. But on a lease, you can probably get away with that. There is an opportunity there for people who can position this properly. I do believe that opportunity exists. I believe it is something that on the flip side of this, we can come out of a whole lot stronger. I know there's a lot of people saying that business is going to be gigantic and double what it was in 2019 and 2021. And I tell those people that they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It might be close, but it also might be 50% of what it is. The office I'm in right now is a client of ours who has been closed for 2 months. They've had literally no income for 2 months. And I can't tell you what they make or what they profit in a day, but they do very well. And the fact that they can't be open means that everything is getting pushed down the line. But if I come in, and they're not doing this from us because we don't offer this yet, but they're having new phone systems put in today. Because when they showed them that model and said, hey, here's what you can save, here's how this will save you money in the long run, they jumped on it now knowing that, yeah, they're going to take a bit of a hit, but they can roll this out. But if that supplier had come in and said, hey, that, you know, upgrade is going to cost you X amount and I need a check today, they never would have signed that. There is an opportunity here. But again, I don't think you're going to get a 3-year life cycle like traditional IT does. You might pull a 5-year in that photocopy multifunction business machines world. But if you can design this in a, you know, 7 to 10 year, you'll be all over it because people don't have CapEx right now, but they can find ways to make OpEx work.
All right, very good. Next story here comes to us actually from The Verge and talking about security and Huawei. The UK government, and follow me for a second here, guys. The UK government has issued a statement saying that they're going to have all of Huawei's networks off of their 5G systems by 2023. And this is in response to the U.S. President, President Trump, and their administration banning the government's use, the U.S. government's use of Huawei's technology. Trump signed an executive order last May blocking U.S. companies from buying foreign-made telecommunications equipment, and also that pose a national security threat. He extended that actually through 2021. Chris, I want to start with you on this. When it comes to security and getting on the wrong side of a country's administration, as a manufacturer, how do you kind of navigate some of those waters to say, you know what, look, guys, we are secure, or, you know, how can we make ourselves more secure and kind of assuage some of these fears?
So I'll just comment on the story first, which is I don't think it's a security but per se, right? I think this is a political decision, to be completely honest with you. Politics and security tied up. But to answer your question, we generally have to do two things, right? We have to satisfy the customer, who very rarely is the government. Well, we sell to government business, but most of our business is not government business, right? Most of our business is in other verticals. It's probably one of our top three or four. But if we, let's take China, right? If we want to sell to Chinese customers, we have to do two things. We have to satisfy the customer's own requirements, but we also have to satisfy the import requirements of the state. So in the case of China, that's China certification plus whatever the needs of the company are. Now, the needs of the company in China are probably closely aligned with the requirements of the government. But we don't do anything particularly special other than go through the equivalent of what we would do in the States, right? We have to go through UL. If you go to the EU, you've got to go through CE marking. It's quite rare that we bump into particular additional security certification needs. The exception to that actually is Russia. There's a lot of certification of telecommunication product in Russia. And a lot of what we sell is classed as that, right? Just anything with a VoIP or a POTS input endpoint in it, like a Serafonte or a server card or whatever, is a telephony product. Most of the time, we don't run into that problem. Lots of our products are not categorized in ways that need certifying in a particular fashion, right? Things like microphones and loudspeakers and amplifiers are not as difficult to get pushed. And even signal processors, by the way. It really is telecommunications and communications categories that sometimes require a bit more work. And in particular in Russia, that's a thing that we notice. It takes longer sometimes to get things through into Russia than other countries.
Once
and
you
China
do get those
is just time.
Yeah, once you do get those pushed through, a specific product, let's pick on the Desera line for a second. Once you get the first one through, right? Is it okay now that particular model or SKU is authorized?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There was an issue a couple of years ago where they changed some rules on something and we had to go back and get something tested or change firmware. I think it was about encryption, actually. The way we encrypted VoIP traffic. I think the Russian government changed its rules on VoIP traffic, or the way that things are encrypted. They actually wanted a way to see through the encryption. And I think that led, unlike most governments,
I'm
right? I'm shocked too, right? But you know, ask Apple how they feel about that in the United States. So it's
Matt
not
Scott,
it's,
Matt at avnation.tv.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, you know, every state wants to see through. Everybody state wants to pass through absolutely. Encryption. I just want to chuckle at the headline in the shortened URL for this too, because it says UK to phase out Hawaii, Boris Johnson, Trump, 5G. That's what the Verge's URL is. I'm like, yes. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. All right. Anyway, Matt,
Christopher Simmons@Bibe.com.
Let's bring Matt in on this because he's our token Canadian today. And not for nothing, but I honestly didn't know this was happening when I chose this story. But the Canadian High Court, and Matt, you can tell me exactly what that's called here in the States. It's called the Supreme Court. Voted to send a Huawei executive to the United States, who the United States have been seeking extradition for various charges. When it comes to governments getting into the business of technology, and don't send me emails, or you can send me emails, I don't care. By and large, the old white guys that are in the offices don't know the first thing about the technology they're dealing with. I'm terribly sorry. The Senator Stevens from Alaska famously said, the internet is nothing but tubes, okay? And we'll go from there. So what does it say when these are the folks that are making the decisions on the technologies that we can use when it comes to the systems that you're trying to design?
Well, I think that, the elected members of, in your case, Congress and the Senate and the White House, and in our case, the House of Commons and the Senate, which here are appointed, and that's a whole other conversation, and our PMO office, our Prime Minister's office. As much as we would love to sit back and think that those are the individuals, or dread to think that those are the individuals that are, you know, drafting the legislation and being involved in that, they're not. It's policy wonks. It is, unfortunately, half the time interns who are sitting there and writing thousands of pages of documents where they hopefully have a little bit of insight about whatever they are talking about, and just cite any of the recent things that have been going on, and you can see how misplaced some of that trust is. That being said, there comes a point where government will get involved and has to get involved. And in the case of the 5G conversation, they're going to be involved because it's a national infrastructure. It's not any different than you can politely draw the exact same line for anything technology-based versus roadworks. Do you think your local member of, in my case, Parliament, or in your case, the Congress, has any idea how concrete works and why concrete may be better for your road than asphalt or anything else? They have no stinking clue. They're there to vote on something that they probably didn't even read, because that's how politics works. But the state still has to be involved in these types of matters, specifically the 5G deployment, because there are those security concerns. Whether they're, dare I say, trumped up or accurate, nobody knows. And you can talk to people that work with DOD, and they'll tell you that this is a major issue. You can talk to other people at DOD, and they might tell you that it is not an issue, that there is no concern with, you know, having any vendor come in and supply infrastructure that will not have backdoors. We all know hacks happen. We all know that all of this, as secure as you want it, whether it's state-sponsored, whether it's individuals, whether it's some kid in their bedroom, everything is susceptible to being hacked. And that's where the concern comes in. Now, what makes this story entertaining is they've been talking about this for a while, about trying to kick Huawei out. They've been talking about it here in Canada, and of course, you've been talking about it down south. What will complicate matters for this is we did just vote to extradite this official back to the U.S. for charges of whatever it is. I can't even remember what it is now. If those relationships were not already strained, they're going to be at an incredibly difficult point.
Between Canada and China.
Between Canada and Huawei, which, let's not beat around the bush, it is a state-owned company, and the U.S. and Huawei, because they were adamant that we should not extradite her. The U.S. was adamant that we do extradite her. Like, politics, unfortunately, does get involved in all of this stuff. And it is what it is. There's really no way to have this conversation without it, unless you are 100% in the ultra conservative, and I don't mean party, but conservative manner in which you think the government should not be involved in any of this, and this should all be free market. And if it's free market, respectfully, Huawei is going to win all of these, because they have arguably the best technology. They have the lowest price points, or they will make it the lowest price point because they want that, which is what fuels the conversation of, well, why do they want it so bad? Because they want to see through and know what's there. And I don't know. It's going to be fun.
All right. Victoria, I'm going to try to take this a different route that's not political. When it comes to designing,
so
I know.
The story is a political story. There is no way to dodge, to Matt's point, there is no way around the political nature of this mess.
Let me put my tinfoil hat on first, because we're talking China, we're talking good, 5G. Good.
And it causes COVID, don't forget
and
that.
Yes, right. 5G causes COVID.
Try Lysol. I heard it helps.
Only Windex. If you snort it.
You need a bit of disclaimer on that, Tim.
Yeah, don't do that. Victoria, when you're talking with clients and you've got a design, right, and then the government comes along and says, you can't use that. How do you walk that through with them, right? They've signed off on something, and they've may have given you a deposit, for crying out loud. And they're looking at your new designs, or maybe even your as-builds, and like, wait a minute, this is not the same thing. How do you explain that to them?
Well, I mean, if usually my clients are, you know, up to date on that kind of stuff. And, you know, if it's affecting AV, if it gets to the point where it's affecting AV, it's affecting their IT things as well. No. So, you know, it's not too difficult of a conversation to have, but it's definitely interesting. and you know, we'll see what happens.
All right.
Asterisks. Or similar.
Stop it.
All right. It's the writing, the wording in the first place, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all in the contracts, though. Just to pull that for a second. It's all in how you schedule your contracts. It's all error in emissions, insurance, and liability clauses. You have to have a way to, because we've run into this too, where supply issues, and you had to supply something different, and the client loses their bloody mind over the fact that you put in a different item than what they thought they were getting. And as long as you have your paperwork in order, you can go down that and say, yeah, no, we spec this buy-in product, but you're getting this one because that's what it is.
Yeah, sorry. Well, and I think too, just open open lines of communication, you know, throughout the process helps too. You know, yes, cover yourself, you know, in the contract, but then also, hey, let them know in advance. And it's really not a big deal. At the end of the day, the client just wants it to work.
Yeah. Be upfront, right? See it coming, point to the news article, talk about, oh, well, we just had an email from vendor X who have closed their factory for a month or whatever they've, you know, it's communication.
Yeah.
And that right there, Chris, is key, because even let's get beyond the Huawei thing, during this crisis, during the COVID crisis, is talking to folks like BuyUp, who's been incredibly forthcoming about their issues, and other folks that have as well. Because, you know, BuyUp for a second, their factory is in Beaverton, Oregon, right?
It is.
But there are parts and components, the chipsets, right, don't come from Beaverton, Oregon. They come from outside the U.S., which were affected by COVID because factories were closed down, just like your company was closed down, right? That person's company was closed down. And so
that's Matt's customer that was closed down, not by
yes. No, not by him. So no, I wasn't saying you, Chris. I'm just saying the person watching this, the person listening to this, you know, your office was closed down, you know, whatever. We talked about this beforehand. I haven't had a haircut since March, and I get to have one in the 1st of June because of this crisis. Having that communication from your manufacturers and relaying that communication to your client is incredibly important in a normal circumstance, right. And especially, I would say, in this circumstance. All right. Well, that's all I got. Thank you, guys. We had one on Zoom. You can go check it out. I'll make Mitchell put the link up on the thing. So, Victoria Ferrari, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Victoria. I'm with Conference Technologies. You can find me on Twitter, Victoria0429, or LinkedIn. And that's it.
One word of warning, she likes Taylor Swift. That's all I'm going to say. Chris Fitzsimmons, thank you, sir. How do people get a hold of you or BuyUp?
You can get a hold of us at www.buyup.com, or you can reach me on the email, chris.fitzsimmons@buyup.com. Always happy to hear from you.
And Mr. Scott, who was on site, so thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time before you go back to work.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. You can find me on Twitter at Matt D. Scott, at Omega Audio Video, or here at AV Nation on Resi Week and AV Week and anywhere else that I decide to show up.
Pop up from time to time. Yeah. Absolutely. Ooh, yeah.
It's me.
Yes. He is quite scary, actually, when he does that. My name is Tom Albright. Don't follow me on the Twitters, although you might want to if you're a hockey fan, because holy crap, it's coming back, at least for a short amount of time. And the Blues get a first round bye. So just want to point that out there.
So it's not really coming back. You're just getting a bye.
No. They're playing hockey.
They're coming back.
Playoff hockey. The Blues sport. Anyhow. Go by the website, if you would, please. We got a brand spanking new one that a lot of folks put a lot of hard work on. Not me, so it looks pretty. I know Matt's
excited. Nice new glasses, Tim, by the way.
Thank you. It's what happens when you get, you know, past a certain age that I'm getting.
No, the colors changed.
They do?
No, they were not blue last time I saw them.
Okay.
Awesome. Or violet, whatever they are.
Go by the website, avianation.tv.
Yes, avianation.tv. Violet.
You'll find this program and a host of others, including Matt's Resi Week, my AV Week, and some more. Also, while you're there, check out our supporter section. These are the folks who help us financially, help us bring you ITAV and Resi Week, and BuyUp is one of those, so we thank them for their support. Also, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see a bunch of our pretty faces surrounding Infocom Connected, the virtual trade show that Avixa is putting on. Matt's going to be with me, as well as our buddy Chris Netto. Megan Della joins me also for another session, so check that out as well. All that and more at avnation.tv. That's avnation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for watching. That's all the time we have for ITAV. He got an email wall.
Excuse me, Kat. I know you really want to be on the internet famous, but...